This is Identity Matters, the podcast devoted to discussions about biometric technologies and all matters relating to identity and identity verification, management, and security. I'm your host, Rob Tappan, and I'm pleased to serve as Managing Director of IBIA, the International Biometrics and Identity Association. The IBIA is an industry trade organization based in Washington, D.C., and represents the manufacturers, developers, and systems integrators for a wide variety of biometric technologies and applications, including voice recognition, iris and fingerprint verification, facial recognition, multi-factor authentication, DNA analysis and measurement, as well as a host of other related modalities. Our members serve their customers in the governmental, law enforcement, and a variety of private sector verticals, from healthcare to hospitality, financial services in fintech, to education and transportation. Our organization and our members stand for the responsible use of biometric and identity technologies. Join me in this and upcoming episodes of Identity Matters as we talk to some of the leaders and innovators in this exciting industry. And welcome to Identity Matters. Hello to our listeners out there. Hope you're well. We've got an exciting program for you today. We're going to be talking with Robert Eckel, the president and CEO of Aware Incorporated, headquartered in Burlington, Massachusetts. Aware is one of the most well-respected and highly regarded biometrics firms out there today. Aware is a global provider of biometric software, products, solutions, and services to empower users to own and control their identity while minimizing friction, ensuring security, maximizing convenience, and KYC, that is, knowing your customer. Their identity verification and management solutions support financial services, enterprise security, healthcare, human resources, citizen ID, border management, law enforcement, defense, and intelligence. Aware technology helps organizations collect, manage, process, and match biometric images and data for identification and authentication efforts. Aware is a publicly held company and is listed and traded on the NASDAQ exchange. And with that, welcome to the Identity Matters podcast, Bob.
Well, great to be here, Rob.
So for those out there who don't know much about Aware, tell us a little bit about the company, its products, and some of its customers and end users, and what sets the company apart from others in the market.
Wow, there's so much I could share given our 30-year history, but I'll try to keep it brief for us. Aware is a global biometrics identity platform company. We use data science, machine learning, and AI or artificial intelligence to tackle identity and business challenges while we balance security in the user experience. In other words, we're really here to improve your business results through biometrics. And I'll say for over 30 years, Aware has built trust with governments and businesses, excelling in digital onboarding, authentication, and biometric lifecycle management. We're known throughout the industry for biometric data orchestration and mobile framework solutions. And Aware solutions integrate seamlessly within existing systems and infrastructure. This includes both hardware and software to improve security and streamline processes. This ends up recreating good customer experiences, earning us partnerships with leading government agencies and commercial entities worldwide. Our full biometric software stack minimizes and practically eliminates facial bias. And this has been verified by NIST, ensuring demographic neutrality in both matching and liveness determination. Aware prioritizes consent-based tech, or opt-in tech for short, while offering flexible, cost-effective integration with existing infrastructure and systems. Additionally, our liveness detection ranks number one in security and convenience for certain presentation attack types, providing top-notch impersonation and evasion detection, the only provider in the top tier in both categories. In fact, Aware ranks top five in security and top 10 in convenience across most presentation attack modes for evasion, making us the only provider who successfully struck the balance between user experience and security, with the ability to also configure solutions appropriately for every use case. And since our scalable platform adapts to evolving needs, we can help clients navigate future challenges while maintaining high customer satisfaction and revenue growth.
You've been CEO and president of AwareNow for nearly 5 years. Give us a sense of your background, how you got involved in the biometrics industry, and what brought you to Aware.
Yeah, well, time goes fast. So just a little history. Prior to joining the Aware team as CEO in September of 2019, I worked strategically with the Aware management team, providing some initial feedback on the company's capabilities and prospects. The company had a reputation as the go-to biometrics components and middleware provider and partner for some of the most renowned government agencies. When I looked at it deeper, I saw a great deal of potential upside in scaling the company, given the solid proven technology and reputation, the strong employee expertise, and the opportunity for focusing the product offerings and growing a commercial customer base directly and through channel partners. And I still do. But I've been in the biometrics and identity space for much longer than that. For me, it all started with 9/11. I was working as the general manager of air traffic control for Raytheon at the time when the identity issues really hit me. I kept thinking about there's got to be a better way to verify identity and prevent a piece of plastic from causing such havoc. Maybe if we had biometrics in place, things could be different. And so began my journey in identity that started in 2005. First at Digimarc, then L1 Identity Solutions, then Saffron Morpho, then Idemia, and now Aware since 2019. I'm still passionate about making the world a better, safer place with secure identity verification and authentication. Proud to work towards that end with the excellent team at Aware and in collaboration with our partners, customers, and shareholders. So to me, this has been a quest, and I'm really embedded and engaged in this activity.
That's terrific. Tell our listeners a little bit about some of the technologies that Aware has developed and offers currently, and what the primary applications and use cases are for this technology.
That's a good question, Rob. Aware's been transforming over the years and is really built on a foundational hardened technology that's been proven over the decades. And in the past, we've offered multimodal biometric components and frameworks, providing individual elements to mainly large IT integrators for customers to build their own solutions. So what we've done in the last couple of years, since I've been here and started a little bit before, is taken those trusted components and frameworks and turned them into a biometric identity platform provider that we are today. Today, we enable customers to configure the platform for specific use cases with flexible deployment options, i.e. they can do it on-prem or SaaS, through partners, value-added resellers, OEMs, large and local IT integrators, and direct customers. So we've really expanded our previous government focus to include more commercial applications and made biometric technology more accessible to organizations of all size. In other words, we're working to make biometrics simplified and demystify the use of biometrics.
And where would you say Aware goes from here?
We are now on a path, I believe, to transform the industry with sector-specific pre-configured biometric solutions for common use cases. We provide our own pre-configured offerings as well as platforms for partners to build their own solutions. So if you were to put this in the framework of the digital identity prism that's been published by Acuity Market Intelligence, our roots began in core biometric tech. We've since added authentication and identity verification along the way, and we combined this with our biometric orchestration product to become the biometric identity platform provider that we are today. And we're continuing to evolve by creating targeted biometric solutions, and these will be modular and scalable nature. And this is how it'll let us virtually any organization in any industry, practically any use case, will be able to help them out.
And obviously, that includes first and foremost facial recognition technology, which has been a fairly controversial topic in recent years. What are your thoughts on that technology and all of the ongoing debates and calls for more regulation surrounding its use?
Well, first thing I'll say is I think debates are good. and they are a necessary part of due diligence to ensure multiple perspectives are taken into account when decisions are being made. So what really frustrates me about this particular debate is that many lawmakers are not working from facts, and same with individuals. We need to provide the facts. They still don't all have a solid foundation on how facial recognition technology actually works and how it can be deployed ethically. So I'm a big proponent of the AWARE team supporting and contributing to these debates. And in fact, we recently participated in a Government Accounting Office research into biometric technology and the potential benefits and concerns. And if you haven't seen that report yet, it's Biometric Identification Technologies, Considerations to Address Information Gaps and Other Stakeholder Concerns. And this just came out in April this year. And to complete this study, the GAO reviewed academic literature, government reports, industry documents. They also interviewed researchers and a range of stakeholders, including community advocates and technology vendors and local, state, and federal governments. So this is the type of qualified debate that we need to have, and not the centralistic or sensationalistic view promoted by some. So I just think debate's important. Let everybody have their speech, put it out on the table, and then take those facts and go back and create either compliance or standards or regulations from them.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think that the misinformation out there, sometimes the demagoguing of, right, of biometrics has risen up on Capitol Hill and in some of the state houses. But if you could address or correct any issue or perceived misinformation being spread out there about biometrics and identity technologies, what would it be?
This is a great question. Let me answer it in a few ways. So as you state, there's a fair amount of misinformation out there regarding biometric technology, and particularly facial recognition. If I had to pick one issue, though, I'd like to address the perception that all biometric technology is inherently biased. Right. So I'll just pick that as one example. As you know, one of the biggest hurdles for, consumer adoption of biometric technology is the belief that it's all biased, that not everyone will be treated equitably if there's not a human in the process to verify the identity. To me, this is simply not true. Some biometric technology has bias, to be sure. And those are technologies that give the entire industry a bad name, bad rap. If people continue to believe all biometric technology is biased, then they won't use it. And if individuals don't use it, then organizations and government agencies won't buy it. And you can see how this could be a slippery slope for industry. But all is not lost. I mean, it's possible to ensure biometric technology does not perform differently across different genders and races. As a matter of fact, NIST just came out with a new report in March that specifically looked at this issue as an independent evaluation. And in the results, AWARE tops the charts. Our algorithms, the power behind our biometric tech, our algorithms minimize bias to perform consistently across all gender and racial categories evaluated. This can't be said for all the biometrics provider, however. And to put a measurement on it, our closest tier one competitor has 4 times more bias in matching and over 2 times more bias in liveness detection. So we have proven that you can have responsible biometric technology if you put your mind to it. So part two of your question, which is around how do we address this in industry? And I have a couple ideas that came to mind. First, this is maybe a little controversial, but it would be addressed through minimal performance requirement levels. So, or at least a universal standard to which biometric technology providers can demonstrate their compliance. Similar to how AWARE is SOC 2 certified to demonstrate our robust data security, or how we are iBeta PAD level 2 compliant to demonstrate our ability in detecting presentation attacks. I'd recommend that there be a standard by which technology can be measured to demonstrate the performance when it comes to bias. Second, buyers of biometric technology all need to take this seriously as a group, as an entity, and own their part in helping drive this change. So I'd say to this end, there should be different levels or performance levels that are recommended for the use case being considered. So in other words, identified best practices of where you might use or what's necessary for levels of bias or acceptance. And lastly, I wanted to bring in the artificial intelligence discussion. So we as an industry need to help shape this conversation and not all jump on the AI is good bandwagon. To me, Aware has been using artificial intelligence and machine learning to continually improve our algorithms for more than a decade, long before AI's recent rise to popularity in the general public. We recognize the power behind it in R&D and the risk that improper use can pose. And this is a subject that I could talk about all day. As you probably can tell, I'm extremely passionate that biometric technology needs to be developed ethically and used ethically. We're never going to be able to leverage the full power of biometric technology and help improve business results if we enable new entrants to circulate tech or based on algorithms that should have never been released, like no minimal standards. You know, so we need to come together to address that as an industry, that there are some minimal standards before it should be used in certain applications. I know that was a lot, but I think it was important to try to get that in and drive in the artificial intelligence part.
Well, we've had a great discussion so far. Let's take a quick break right now, and we'll be back to you shortly with more questions for Bob Eckel, President and CEO of Aware Incorporated. This is the Identity Matters Podcast. IBIA, the International Biometrics and Identity Association, is the leading advocate and voice for the biometrics and identity technology industry. IBIA advances the adoption and responsible use of technology-based identification solutions to enhance security and privacy, to confirm human identity, and to facilitate convenience and productivity for government, businesses, and consumers. To carry out its mission effectively, IBIA focuses on three core activities: advocacy, engagement, and education. Our organization and our members stand for the responsible use of biometric and identity technologies. Find out more about IBIA online at ibia.org. Welcome back to the Identity Matters Podcast. I'm Rob Tappan, and we're here with Bob Eckel, the president and CEO of Aware Incorporated, and we're here in Massachusetts talking with him in his offices. Bob, the last description that you gave about the current issues and perceived misinformation before the break was, I think, very thorough. But now I want to take a pivot a little bit and see if you could share some examples about how your technology has been successfully used in real-world situations and scenarios.
Absolutely, Rob. I think let me just give you a couple quick examples, right? I think it's important that we hit a couple things, and I'll talk about some of the government sector and some of the commercial type examples. So in the government sector, you know, we just worked with a large U.S. department, and they were able to deploy a global web-based background check system that leveraged our technology. So what did this provide for them? So this enabled the government employees to be onboarded faster and also the government to achieve a lower operating cost with no degradation in security level. So the security level is held, but more convenience for the users and also reducing costs and time of reduce. And, you know, jumping over to like a law enforcement example, you know, we partnered with a leading police department in solving over 45 cold cases using the advanced biometric analysis tool that we have. Obviously, this had a positive impact on their backlog, also their future cases, and it substantially improved their close rate case. So they were able to go back, look at these, and use our forensic tools to do this. In financial services, a large bank that, you know, we helped out in South America leveraged Aware's AI-enabled liveness detection algorithms and technology to reduce the fraud rate by over 85%. And this, of course, saves them millions annually. Now, it doesn't stop there. Obviously, there's different attacks and things that you have to do. So we have to bring in additional technology. And we have a research team that actively looks at everything that's going on in the environment. And then another example that I mentioned earlier about friction is from the commercial sector. It's when we integrated a biometrics with a leading gaming platform and e-commerce platform. This reduced the onboarding friction for players, made it easier to add and remove funds, and improved the consumer and customer experience, which is very important when you're trying to make these. You don't want to add a lot of friction in it. So you want to do a balance between the security that you need and the friction level. And in this case, it's, you know, what you're trying to prevent fraud-wise, but then make sure you have a good user experience. So you don't want to overburden the process.
And I just want to put a finer point on this. When you talk about the word friction in the sense of what you just did, is that ease of signing on and being verified and that sort of thing?
Well, there's really two things. One is there's always going to be friction when you onboard and enroll. But look at that as a non-recurring one-time event. The friction that I refer to is when you're in the authentication mode and you're using it over and over again. And friction can take on two components, multiple steps and time. So if you're adding multiple steps, you can mess up multiple steps. And if you're adding time, you get frustrated and move on. So, you know, getting into a general access area, you want it to be as quick as easy. Getting into an IT closet, you might want to add more friction to it because you only want the people authorized to do it. So you might want to add, you know, Aware's technology that uses multi-mode. So getting into an IT closet, you might say, let's use face liveness and voice liveness and a PIN. That all comes with getting into it. But that only impacts maybe, you know, 2% or 1% of the population. So you want to, for the general population, you don't want to add things that aren't necessary to further burden them or make them frustrated.
Let's move to the user experience in terms of gaining public trust and acceptance of these types of technologies and the products that you offer to your customers. What are the biggest challenges facing your company in terms of that?
Yeah, I think that's a great question, but let me pose the question back to you and reword it. I'd look at it as, what's the biggest challenge that I see for biometric adoption? So turning it around a little bit, I see a couple things. One is we need, and I talked about this earlier, we need to remove the belief that all facial recognition is biased and that not everyone will be treated equitably if a human is not part of the process to verify the identity. And as we've talked previously, when it comes to bias, I still believe and feel there should be different levels or performance levels that are recommended for use cases before they're considered. Or in other words, you know, just identify some best practices per use case, right? So that when you go to do it, you know what you should select as a best practice. And of course, you can always go higher level security at that point. The second thing, and it's perceived in some cases, is what I just talked about and you just asked about, is real friction. It's added to the process when you add biometrics, where the intent is to actually reduce friction but maintain security. So when you do it, if you add too many step-up levels, you've increased the security, but you've added the friction in cases where you don't need it. So as an example, the general population coming in and out of work during work hours, you might want to just use facial recognition. Maybe after hours, you would add voice biometrics as well as a step up and require both or a PIN. You know, the combination of stuff gives you that level where there's no one around to check on that and adoption. And the third one, you know, again, that's why I turned the question around, is about adoption. The third falsity is that we're all under surveillance. We're not, right? But on the positive adoption side, things that'll move adoption along even further is good compliance. If there's compliances or good practices that are put in place, and I know IBIA and company is looking at that, the adoption will happen because people will follow the good practices as a minimum. You can see in various countries right now, they've set out some various minimal compliance standards for the country. And in that, everyone follows it and introduces it as a minimal. And of course, those can change as you go.
How about accuracy? That's obviously a big consideration. Can you discuss the accuracy rates and potential for false positives or negatives in facial recognition and in other biometric systems?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say first, it needs to be addressed through minimal performance requirements levels or at least measured against current universal standards that are out there for biometric technology so that you can, you know, you could address compliance or be at a compliance level. And as we talked about subject to bias, I feel there should be different levels of performance that are recommended for the use case being considered, depending on if it's for benefits, whether it's for opening a credit card or getting access to stuff. You really want to look at what's the minimum or the best level of performance or recommended performance so that no one is left out. And so I just think that without getting into the actual numbers, it's really about trade-off of the security levels, the friction, and the access to benefits or services. There's a trade-off because there are now with all the different NIST standards and stuff, there's a way that those can be applied effectively.
So how does your company handle the storage, retention, and potential sharing of biometric data with third parties and government agencies? I know that's also a sticky problem and a challenge for many companies. How does Aware deal with that?
No, it's a good question. And what we did, because there are some standards that are available, is the GDPR principles, is what we use as best practices. And you know, it's generally accepted, generally recognized, and regardless of the jurisdiction or the data subject, just it's one of the things that we've looked into, really are applying, and we've just been accepted into the U.S. Department of Commerce's data privacy framework, and that certifies our GDPR compliance. So I think if you follow those, which again, it goes back to what I'm talking about, best practices and things, this is one of those. By being compliant, if other people were there, you know the level of attention we're going to pay to data security and protecting your privacy.
Yeah, common standards are really...
Yeah, and this is just one of them. Even though there isn't a lot of them in the U.S. like this, this one is one that is a good standard to follow, best practice.
What are the potential benefits of biometric technologies in, you know, for, let's say, law enforcement, border control, and counterterrorism?
Well, I mean, in that particular area, you can, if it's applied properly, you can enable people to opt in and move quickly through the system, right? Remember, when you're using something that's federal or at that level, you are also saying you're of a certain person using those services moving through. So I think whenever there you get into a case where you can improve the level of satisfaction, if you had to manually inspect every person's identification or background in it, the lines would still be there. You would never get onto a plane or public transportation or through the line. So the use of biometrics, I fully support. I also fully support the individual's right to opt in or opt out. So if you don't want to opt in, you don't have to. But if you do opt into the technology, that's why it was a great question prior. You know, there are practices that are being put in place for data and privacy concerns and issues. You have to draw a line of where you put your trust at some point. To me, the benefits outweigh the negatives there.
Indeed. And while we're on the topic of privacy concerns, can you share your insights on the ongoing debates in the U.S. around the use of biometric technologies like facial recognition in public spaces or things like protests? What's your view on that?
Good question. I'll certainly give you my perspective of that. And for me, it's simple. We at Aware prioritize consent-based biometric technology. And when you're using our solutions or we're suggesting using our solutions, we want you to opt in. Obviously, except in forensic cases, law enforcement, defense, and intelligence application, like you're just talking about immigration and border. So just in general, in public spaces and at protests, you know, in the United States, we all have the right for peaceful gatherings and protest. And since I believe in explicit consent, I don't think individuals should be identified simply for being present if they're not doing anything unlawful. Now, where I see biometrics technology playing a role is in the forensic applications after the fact, and only if it's needed. And, you know, for example, when laws are broken, let's say there was video footage or photos of the said laws being broken, it's absolutely the responsible thing to do to use the tools available to aid in the identification of the individual on a camera that are breaking the law or video so that our justice system can kick in. This is no different than forensically lifting a fingerprint from a crime scene and trying to identify an individual from there. By no means does it mean it's the person. It's a tool for you to use. So in short, I support leveraging biometric technology in investigation of suspected crime. I don't support it in general surveillance and that, but that's where it comes in. And that's where you get investigators to take a look at, geez, I got this. Is this a person? You go through, and then a human gets in the middle of on those investigations.
Right. Yeah, and that's an important distinction, I think. I mean, I know that from IBIA's perspective, and of which I know you subscribe as a member, and our other member companies, looking at the forensic applications of biometrics in situations where, let's say, there might be a closed circuit camera or TV footage or something like that, using it after the fact. And if it's something that law enforcement's using, like, let's say, a street where there's a lot of, let's say, drug dealing going on or something like that, you know, IBIA is taking the position that, hey, this is something that ought to be treated like a wiretap. We go to, you know, law enforcement goes to the court, gets a warrant the ability to do this for a certain period of time. And then hopefully the situation gets cleaned up and then that is over. So it's not about constant vigilant surveillance, but more about, you know, using it to in the law enforcement spectrum of tools out there, but usually after the fact. I think that.
Yeah, that sums it up well. So you're using it to investigate something that happened and you use it for that purpose, for that time to help with the investigation, but not just in a general manner of surveillance and then anybody have access to. And I agree with that.
Great. Well, you've been at the helm here now for a little over 4 years. What are your future goals and ambitions for Aware?
Well, to not get into safe harbor territory, I'll provide you with an insight that I've stated many times publicly and where we're going with our technology and our business. And so we're working to continue to transform the industry with sector-specific pre-configured biometric solutions for common use cases. We promise to work the balance of security and customer experience, and we want to base that on the appropriate use case that's being applied to. And through that, Aware will provide our own pre-configured offerings as well as platforms for partners to build their solutions, and all the while Aware builds up its recurring revenue base and enabling us to provide long-lasting service to our long-standing customers. So Rob, you know, in a nutshell about the company, Aware strives to be recognized as a company that's associated with biometric simplified. You know, so we're here and ready to improve our customers' business results through biometrics in any way that we can. There's a lot of things that our customers and industry is looking for: better access, increased customer retention, reduced fraud, compliance, and we feel that biometrics is a great way of doing that, and we can do it in a compliant way.
Absolutely. I also think that the catchphrase that you mentioned earlier about some of Aware's products, I think it was biometric simplified, that's a great way of encapsulating a lot of the different products and offerings that your company provides its customers. So with that in mind and the perspective that you have leading the company, do you have any last words of wisdom or food for thought for our audience?
Yeah, it's a good one. And I was thinking about this, you know, when you first approached me to do this. But I'll leave you with this. I'd say, I mentioned briefly earlier, but AI is a hot topic. And so I really see AI and the responsible use of AI as a potential technology accelerator that, you know, can definitely complement our industry and address what consumers want and need so that they aren't compromised or inconvenienced or a target of malicious intent. But on the other side of the argument, the use of AI should not be left untethered, right? It should be, there should be some controls. There's also, as I go back, you know, new entrants into biometrics market, there should be some standards that we all have to live by relative to compliance or in the use cases stuff. So thanks for all your questions. I think this was informative for me as well, because I had to do some thinking as I went through this. But hopefully that gives you a better perspective of what Aware is as a company, what we're trying to do, the ethical use of biometrics, and the advancements that we're doing as part of the total industry that we share a common bond through the IBAA and others.
Well said. And thanks very much for your time, Bob, and for taking a moment to share your thoughts about Aware, its products and services, and how the company is helping your customers in so many different ways.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you. You have been listening to the Identity Matters podcast. I'm your host, Rob Tappan, and on behalf of IBIA, the International Biometrics and Identity Association, thank you for listening to this edition of Identity Matters. I want to thank my guest, Bob Eckel, President and CEO of Aware, for his time today. You can find out more about Aware at www.aware.com. And be on the lookout for future editions of this podcast. You can find out more about IBIA on the web at ibia.org. Thanks again, and talk with you soon.